Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with John Rubino. He is the founder and editor of the dollarcollapse.com website. John, what I want to talk about is this deal, transaction between Newmont Mining and Goldcorp combining to create now the world's largest gold company. And this comes really on the back of a deal that happened last year between Barrick and Randgold that at the time made them the largest mining company. Overall, though, one thing that we can say that we are seeing with these deals is a consolidation at the top end of the resource market, the gold market specifically, with these major companies coming together. Let's first just get your comments on what you think this means for the overall gold sector.
Hey, Corey. Well, I think it's good. First of all, a lot of really storied names in the gold industry are disappearing lately. I mean, Goldcorp is going to be part of Newmont now. That's amazing. Or at least assuming Goldcorp's name is no longer part of the company. I didn't see what the name of the company going forward will be, but I assume it's Newmont.
Looks like it's going to be Newmont Goldcorp, in all fairness.
Oh, really? Are they going to combine it? Okay. All right. Well, then the Goldcorp name will live on. But as you said, it's probably a good thing for the gold industry. For a few reasons. One is that you can get efficiencies if you do it right by combining two big companies, because you can, in theory, keep the same number of executives and run more mines, and in that way lower your SG&A, sales, general, and administrative expenses, and increase your margins. So done right, this kind of merger can produce a more profitable company. And I'm sure that's how it's being sold. It doesn't always work out that way. A lot of the time, companies will just decide to build an empire. You know, they need to be the biggest, and they'll just buy assets kind of randomly, as it turns out, and it doesn't work out for them. So hopefully these mergers are going to produce efficiencies that will show up in the bottom line going forward. And another thing it will do is kind of, eventually push the M&A downstream, because once a few big mergers like this take place, there really aren't that many other big miners that are available to be bought out or merged. And these companies that are still seeing declining resource bases, in other words, they're mining more gold than they're finding and silver. So they're going to have to look at junior miners that have discovered reasonably significant resources, and they'll have to start buying them out. So I know Rick Rule very recently said something where the headline of the article was that a big wave of M&A is coming in precious metals mining. And it seems like that's true. So we'll see a lot of takeovers of smaller miners going forward, which is good and bad. I mean, if you've got stock in some little junior that you think is a 10 bagger, and somebody comes in and buys them out for 80%, an 80% premium to today's price, that's good. You made 80%, right? But you were expecting 1,000%, and you don't get that 1,000%. The benefit of the eventual development of that little junior miner's mines goes to the big acquirer and the shareholders of the big company, but to them it's kind of diluted because that's just one piece of a big puzzle. So nobody gets 1,000% profit, and that's a shame. I own stock in a lot of junior miners, and I hate the idea of them being bought out, even if it's for a quick pop, because the reason I buy these things is because I think they can be epically profitable if they work out. In other words, you could see them go up 10 times. And that's really, in the junior mining space, how you end up making your money is half of your little junior miners cease to exist. They go down by 100%. And a handful of the others go up by 1,000%. And you end up making 200 or 300% on the portfolio. So for the best of them to be taken out at 80% profits, that short circuits your strategy. So I have mixed feelings about what's coming. And hopefully a couple of little ones being taken out at nice profits will raise the price of all the others as people start looking around for what's next. And in the end, you can still make money by buying junior miners. But we'll have to see how this goes, because this changes the dynamic in a way that that at least I wasn't necessarily counting on, and maybe a lot of other people don't expect. So we'll see. You know, in general, it's a good sign for the industry, though, because a lot of M&A activity means there's a lot of attractive properties out there, which means that it's a good business, and we want it to be a good business.
Yes, we do. We absolutely want it to be a good business, but I think there are some nuances within this deal that hopefully will draw some more investors into the sector. First, right off the top, it is estimated that just through this business combination, that these two companies now will be able to save about $100 million in pre-tax synergies because of now hopefully streamlining some of their operations. And that's one argument that some generalist investors have had about these major companies, is that they acquired too many marginal products and they quite frankly just were not profitable at some of these levels because of synergies that they were not taking advantage of. So this could help on that aspect. But one thing to also consider is that last year we did see that Barrick and Randgold combination, and it hasn't necessarily led to any more acquisitions, at least right now. So it is a ball that needs to get rolling. But how about a comment on where Goldcorp was trading? Goldcorp was trading at a share price that was equal to when gold was at about $400. We need to go the whole way back to, I believe it's about 2004, to see those type of prices for Goldcorp. It just goes to show, though, how much this top end, these majors, had been beaten up because of the lack of money in the sector. John, do you think this deal is enough to start to entice some other people, some generalists, to get into the sector? Or is there going to need to be some sort of a follow-through on the balance sheet, on the income statement, that draw in some more of those investors?
Yeah, well, okay, 3 points from what you just said there. First, it is true that Goldcorp kind of brought this on themselves by screwing up so royally. You know, they've had some really bad results for the last year, and that has led their stock price to plunge, which made them a takeover candidate. I think the price paid is still lower than Goldcorp's share price of just a few years ago, right? And, you know, that's on them. They screwed up. They ended up being vulnerable and being bought out. So there's that in this deal. The second thing you mentioned is, will this generate more interest from the broader investing public? And probably yes, because this is a headline. You know, the gold mining sector doesn't generate a lot of headlines out there, but this is the kind of thing that people are going to see, which is, you know, it's the kind of advertising where you just need to get the name out there. You aren't even really talking about the details of a product. You just want people to recognize the name and to think of it as something legitimate. And so gold mining got that from this. All of a sudden, there's action in the gold mining industry. And so more people are paying attention now. But I do think that for this thing to really have an impact on the broader investing public, they then have to deliver. They have to show good numbers going forward. And specifically, SG&A as a percentage of revenue needs to go down. In other words, they need to get more efficient demonstrably on their income statement. And if that happens, then their profits go up. And then not only are they a big headline-generating company, but they have earnings momentum. And that usually translates into stock price momentum. And then it gets interesting, because you get momentum investors out there who really don't care what you do. They just want your stock price to be going up. And they'll jump on it, assuming that the trend will continue, because most trends do continue for a while. And that pushes the price up even further, and you get this kind of positive feedback loop. And that's what'll be nice to see in the gold sector if that happens. Now, if it coincides with gold going up, which, other things being equal, generate a lot bigger profits for the gold miners, because they're basically just leveraged plays on gold. You know, if its price goes up, then their margins widen. So if all of this stuff happens at the same time in late 2019, let's say, that's a really good thing for the mining industry in general. And the biggest beneficiary will be the little miners, you know, the exploration companies, the junior producers. They tend to be even more highly leveraged than the majors, which means more interest in the sector and wider margins for the sector in general would be great for them. And then you'd see some of those 10 baggers that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, it's all about building that momentum upwards. And hey, gold has been building some momentum to the upside, but it still has not broken out, and it still struggles right around that 1300 level. But even above there, a number of resistance levels that it needs to move ahead of. But one thing that we can wrap it up, your comment here just on the general gold price, is that you can argue in the last couple of weeks gold has been relatively boring. And even through this climb higher, it's been a steady climb higher. No major days, say no $50 days higher, which I think is net good compared to just how volatile the other markets have been. But what do you have to say about this general climb higher by the precious metals and gold specifically, but still the inability to break any significant resistance levels that have been in place now for 2 to 3 years?
Well, up is always better than down. But this has been a really disappointing January so far, because we were set up for another January 2016, which, if you recall, was a spectacular time for gold and the mining stocks. We had the metals prices being down. We had the commitment of traders report being very positive late in 2018. And we had seasonality. In other words, Asian buying usually kicks in early January. And it gives gold and silver a nice few months leading into the summer. And, you know, we got an okay month going so far, but it's not nearly as dramatic as seemed like we were set up for. So I'm disappointed. And if this is the best we get before we hit summer and the doldrums kick back in, then that'll be a shame. But there's still time for this to ramp up. And maybe it requires some kind of an external thing, you know, the Fed announcing that it's not going to raise interest rates anymore, or some other country aggressively trying to reliquify a slowing economy or something like that. But right now, gold and silver are kind of languishing. And this is a time when they shouldn't be languishing. If there's going to be a nice run for precious metals, I was thinking it would be September or January and February and March. So we're almost halfway through January, and we've got a nice little ramp up going from the lows in November-ish, but we don't have anything like excitement in the market right now, and that's too bad. It might still happen, but I'm sorry that it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's been, as I said, a slow grind up, but you know what? At least, as you said, it has been going up.
Yep.
We'll just need to see this process, how it all plays out, because there is a lot at play here just outside of the gold sector that will drive prices either up or down. But at least we are, again, heading upwards, but still a lot of resistance levels to crack. Still circling back to our initial comments here on the majors, a consolidation at the major level. I do think that has the potential of being very positive for the gold sector, but it's not going to provide that immediate bounce that I know some of the gold bugs would like. These majors do need to show that their costs are under control and they have just better operations overall. John, good chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time this morning. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Corey. See ya.